Okay, let's start with Mike McQueary, the guy who reported Sandusky in 2002. That email to a former classmate said that he did stop that assault in the athletic facility shower, and he did discuss it with police. So he says he's getting smeared by all this, as we mentioned yesterday. But, okay, so why didn't he come out before now to say this stuff?
He's getting smeared, so it's Smear the McQueary.
Could I have lobbed it anymore up to Junior? Watch him take that big cut at it. Look at that.
Why hasn't he come forward now? Until now? Because I think it took him getting kicked out of the stadium on Saturday for it to kind of sink in.
So he sends this email, this private email that somehow people have now got a hold of, news organizations have got a hold of. So CBS starts promoting that they have the exclusive with McQueary, that he is going to talk about his feelings on this whole matter. So this is a big deal. Everybody's expecting, hey, this is like another Sandusky interview. This is amazing. Well, we have the, I believe, 28-second interview that he granted Armin Katayan.
Do you have any idea when you think you might be ready to talk?
This process has to play out. I just don't have anything else to say at all.
Okay. And then just one last thing. Just describe your emotions right now.
All over the place, just kind of shaken.
Crazy?
Crazy.
And you said what? Like a
snow globe.
Like a snow globe.
Yes, sir.
What kind of globe?
Like, could you describe the snow globe? Like, I mean, is Frosty in it, or is it just Santa and Rudolph?
Well, that was very exclusive.
See, I think that may be better than the Costas line of questioning.
You say snow globe?
If you could compare your emotions to some kind of a Christmas decoration, what would you go with there? I guess a snow globe. Thank you.
Armin Katayan, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so what if he did try to stop it? What if he did contact police, which is another thing that has come out in that email, that he did have a discussion with police, but he still coaches there when he knows what happened?
Right, and by the way, another little line of his email says, I did stop it, not physically, but I made sure it was stopped when I left that locker room.
So he made some noises,
I guess, or he just made sure it was over with by the time he left the locker room.
Threw a shower shoe in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turned a garden hose on him. God. Somebody tweeted to me on Twitter. So,
okay.
Pretty good little source. Pretty good little source. Said that Mike McQueary went to Sandusky's charity golf tournament and played in it in 2002 after the incident, and in 2003.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that.
Now, if that's true, that's pretty weird. If you witness this guy doing that to that boy, and then you go and shake his hand and play in his golf tournament and pose for the picture. I don't know if that's true or not, but it certainly was on Twitter. So
that's accurate.
Take it for what it's worth. Now, Joe Paterno, some questions around him right now as we find out that he transferred full ownership of his house to his wife, Sue, back in July for $1. Shortly before this scandal breaks, a few months before the scandal breaks. Now, he claims it was just part of estate planning somehow. Is his wife a lot younger than he is or something? Is that the idea?
I don't think so.
She's pretty old, too.
13 years younger.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes, she is.
They had previously held joint ownership of the house, which they bought in 1969 for $58,000. It's now worth $600,000. And they say, hey, it had nothing to do with the scandal. I also heard reported that Joe Paterno, as part of his retirement, he will get six figures a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw one figure that was $500,000 a year.
Yeah.
For being forced out due to a cover-up over sex scandal. Pretty good little severance. I'll take that.
Mm-hmm. All right, now the suspicion is that he transferred the deed to his wife so that it couldn't be gotten in any kind of civil suit.
Yeah, that's the conspiracy theory.
Right.
But I actually believe the Paternos here, that this was part of a long-term estate planning thing. And I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt on this one.
He's going to get $500,000 a year in pension, but I think that's kind of all he's ever made at that university. You know, he's refused pay raises, and he is not one of those coaches making $4 million a year, $5 million a year.
Why isn't he?
I think
he
that's
hasn't just been a money grabber.
Yeah, that's just the way he operates.
Yeah, but watch, they'll figure out some way to get out of that pension business because of the disgrace. That's why you always take your money when you can.
He's always done fine for himself.
Has he?
I mean, I'm not saying he's, you know, taking $20,000 a year and being happy with it.
But he's also donated millions to that school.
Yeah. He's got money.
You
plenty,
sure?
Plenty of it.
So Bob Costas is getting a lot of praise for his interview with Jerry Sandusky, that telephone interview. Bob Costas only found out 10 or 15 minutes prior to the start of the interview that he was going to do with Sandusky's lawyer. He said, quote, Amendola says to, that's Sandusky's lawyer, Amendola says to us on his own, what if I could get Sandusky on the phone? As if...
As if Bob would say
no. As if there's a possibility Bob would say, no, I'm kind of prepared for this interview with you. Unbelievable. And the interview took place so late in the day, less than 3 hours before the show started, so they didn't have time to promote it. And that's why the Gabby Giffords, or could be part of the reason why Gabby Giffords' interview with Diane Sawyer on 2020 beat the Jerry Sandusky interview in the ratings very handily. Anybody watching the Gabby Giffords?
Mm-hmm. Pretty remarkable.
Can she talk and stuff?
Yeah. Or? Yeah, she can talk. It's incredible.
She makes sense?
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, she's obviously someone who's had brain trauma. She doesn't sound the same as she did before. Well, I mean, she's trying to get back her, not only her speech pattern, but also, you know, trying to process things.
What's she sound like?
She's, almost like a little kid, almost, in her delivery. But it's incredible she's alive. Just to send him either one way or the other, and she's either dead or a vegetable, one of the two.
I don't think vegetable is a very polite term.
Well, I don't like that term. I've never liked that term. It seems too harsh.
It's really
okay,
harsh.
Bedridden and can't talk. That's what she would be.
Yeah, that's
dead.
Better.
Okay.
But my mom always used that term, vegetable.
Everybody uses it.
Still to this day, I don't think people use it like they did.
I just
back
heard
in
a broadcaster
well, yeah,
use
he
it
did because he still calls women broads. We got to go see her. Oh, Mom, I don't want to go to the hospital. Look, she's still your great grandmother. She may be a vegetable, but
God, it is so harsh.
It's just such a reduction of a human being. Oh, she's all, you know, and you know what happened to his wife, don't you? Well, yeah, she got in an accident, and she's laid up in the hospital, vegetable. She's nothing but a vegetable.
That is the most callous response.
It's very callous. 58 members of Congress are among the 1% that we're all supposed to hate because they're in the 1%. 11% of Congress has a net worth of more than $9 million. 11% of Congress, net worth more than $9
million. Wait a minute. Combined, or that's that 11%'s average
that
net
11%'s
worth?
That 11% average net worth. I've okay. always been a little bit confused. So is the 1% that refers to just income, or does it refer to net worth?
No idea.
Because I would think that that makes a difference, right?
Probably not to the people in the tent on the street.
Yeah, if you just want to, you're just going to get worked. And doesn't it matter how someone made their money? I mean, if someone's in the 1% because they're Bernie Madoff, that's a little bit different
right.
than the person who's in a 1% because he created a breast cancer fighting drug.
Sure.
But it seems like they're lumping the whole 1% together.
They
need to divide the 1%. Thank you. That's
okay.
another Gordon Keith editorial. Let's see. Skip that. We already talked about the lost JFK assassination tapes up for sale. Giorgio, you may be interested in that. Only $500,000 for the 30 minutes of additional material that was not in the official version of the government archives, including, well, I'm going to skip that. How about this? In Illinois.
Including
where's
what?
Schaumburg, Illinois? Is that near you?
It's up around the Chicago area, yeah.
Okay.
Near me.
Where you were born and bred.
I wasn't born
there. A teacher at a suburban Christian school charged with a felony and fired for allegedly masturbating behind the podium.
During class?
While teaching class.
No.
How could he possibly think he could get away with that?
And they say he might have been doing it for the past 10 years or more.
Well, I guess that's how he thinks he can get away with it, because he had been.
Paul LeDuc is his name. He's 75.
Paul in...
Hold on a sec, George. He's been a math teacher at the school for 26 years. And finally, some student reported that he appeared to be... working himself over while seated at his podium during class. And investigators somehow determined that indeed he had unzipped and lowered his pants and done this while students were in the classroom as he was teaching. How do you keep from having shake voice and twitching all over the
room?
Seems
like you've got experience.
Okay.
Timing.
Go ahead and turn your book to page 286!
Jeez.
They just thought he was always really impassioned about his class.
That's a heck of a way to teach the FOIL method. I don't even know what that means.
What? Why you bring up the FOIL method? That's one of my go-tos.
I was just searching for math terms, and it doesn't even make any sense in this case.
All right, kids. Of course, the FOIL method means first... outer, inner,
Jeez.
And last, I'm going to go ahead and step out of the room. Could somebody hand me the key to the restroom with the tire on it? Giorgio, you're going to hate this story.
Probably.
But they're saying that the stem cell controversy, you know, embryonic stem cell, the controversy surrounding that, is saying that this could be solved by breast milk.
Really?
They have now isolated embryonic-like stem cells in human breast milk. Now, I know you're against this. You feel
against
like
what?
If we do find embryonic-like stem cells to treat humans, it should be found in cow's milk.
No. I've
because that's that. The way God intends it.
I've never said that.
But yeah, that's pretty cool that they were able to isolate this and grow these stem cells to actually treat human disease. That'd be a good thing. All right, count the red flags. You ready?
Hurry.
Craig, you're in charge of counting them.
Okay.
Authorities
One,
arrested
two,
a 38-year-old man
three,
in an unincorporated
eight,
area
four,
in California after he was allegedly
five,
discovered to be
six,
high on meth,
seven,
owning cockfighting tools,
eight, nine,
and eating a bobcat.
Ten.
All right, thank you.
Henry Arnabal was his name. He said he killed the bobcat with a .22 and then skinned it and ate it after it attacked his roosters. It's not illegal to eat a bobcat, but it is illegal to kill one without a proper permit. The carcass of the bobcat was found hanging on a fence. Arnabal was discovered living in a trailer.
Whatever we're
11,
up to, 15.
12, yeah.
On land, authorities believe to be a former marijuana farm.
Oh, man. That is beaten.
50 roosters, cockfighting hooks, and the bobcat's carcass were taken into evidence. Wow.
All right.
Wow.
We appreciate the support they all give us.
And dead at the age of 93 is Carl Slover, one of the Wizard of Oz munchkins, one of the few.
Wow. How rare is that for a little person to make it to 93?
The Wizard of Oz curse?
Well,
no, I think he had a pretty good life, sounds like.
Oh.
What a creepy scene, though.
He was 4'5". Man, that movie creeped the hell. You should never let your kids watch Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory or Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
I think the creepiest scene for me as a kid of any movie of all time was the We are part of the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop
Guild. Jerky, jerky movements they're doing. And horrible. Yeah, he didn't have a very good life. He was born in his early life, born in what is now the Czech Republic, and he was sold at the age of 9 by his father to a traveling show in Europe.
Oh.
Indeed.
Whoa.
Stay hard, Carl Slover. Birthdays today. Happy birthday to Private Oscar Casas, I think is the way you say his name. His dad's a big P1, and he's proud of his son, who is now in the 305th Military Intelligence Battalion in Arizona.
All right.
Turns 21 today.
Hoorah.
Hoorah. Steve Railsback is 66. You know who that guy is. He played Manson in the made-for-TV Helter Skelter. And he's one who was singing at the end of that, singing, "In my garbage dump." Dave Kushner of Velvet Revolver is 45. Lisa Bonet, 44. Always had a thing for her. Mm-hmm. Remember that scene in Angel Heart?
Nope.
When she's doing
Never saw it.
When she's doing the mommy-daddy stuff with Mickey Rourke and blood's
movie,
pouring down everywhere.
Okay.
Great
movie.
Blood.
The ceiling's raining blood.
Okay.
Great movie. Gotta see it.
There's nothing better than having interracial sex while your ceiling rains blood. Oh my God, I said it.
You're a creep.
I haven't had much sleep. Corey Pavin, 52.
Tickets own.
Dwight Gooden, 47.
Wow.
And Stars goalie Kari Lehtinen is 28.
Okay. Thank you, Gordo. That's Muse in the News, 7:33 on the ticket. Coming up next, a brand new segment, June's